Scoop.
Scoop.
You must occasionally read Scoop.
I occasionally read Scoop, yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
Well, yeah, yeah. I haven't seen her actually for about a year or so.
All right.
My wife follows it.
Does she?
So she gives me an update on it.
Whatever you're scooping.
What I want to talk to you about is about the process of peacemaking. You're about to go to Bougainville to celebrate, I suppose, the outcome there over a fairly long period of time.
I'm actually going there for another reason, because I've been personally putting some funds into help expand the Savili Primary School. The Savili Primary School is in the district where Joseph Kabui comes from.
Okay.
And you may know that when you signed the Lincoln Agreement, my son James was born about 3 days later. So Joseph Kabui became his godfather, and Josephine Sarivi Cohen became his godmother. So he's coming with us also to see this expansion of the Savili Primary School. What they've done there. Anyway, but no, I'm always keen to go there. I'm always keen to catch up on what has happened over a period of time. It was a traumatic beginning to that peace process. But in fact, at the end, it all came through. And where they sit now, I think's in a comfortable relationship with Papua New Guinea, but all the challenges still lie on Bougainville in terms of economic development.
In terms of the challenging process of getting the Bougainville Agreement to negotiations, in some ways, was it a case, I mean, from what I recall, you basically changed New Zealand's position from that of the established position at a point. Why did you do that?
Well, because after I visited there in 95, I did start talking to people about this, public comments. These were talking to people who knew Papua New Guinea, who knew Bougainville, and it certainly was clear to me that the current policy was not going to work. And what was worse than that is having seen it in 95 and seen people clearly suffering and realizing this wasn't Somalia, this wasn't Rwanda, this was in our own region. A lot of people suffering in Bougainville. I met people in the care centers down in Arawa, and they had this sort of vacant look on their face. You know, they just didn't know where they were coming or going. And from what we now acknowledge, the people who avoided the care centres where they were supposed to be looked after and were staying up in the hills and hiding in the hills were probably better fed and survived better. To me, nothing was going to change unless the policy changed.
And when you did that, the Australians would have been a little surprised, I suppose.
Well, I did obviously say to them that look, this is not working. We've got to try something. So it wasn't so much a matter of changing the policy, but changing the approach on how to deal with it. And clearly, starting to talk to the BRA and these people was important. And therefore, setting up clandestine meetings with the BRA. But it was fairly soon after that that I did have a meeting with Philip Flood, who was the head of foreign affairs in Australia. And he said to me, look, I know what you're trying to do. If you can make it work, we're not going to get in your way.
So New Zealand in the end became a mediator in that conflict, which led to...
Well, I was aware that there had been, I think, 11 starts to the peace process over quite a period of time. You know, it began with Mike Moore doing a few things. But we had to do it differently. And what I knew we had to do was whatever we started at had to be a long, slow process.
Are there parallels between what's happened in Bougainville and what's currently the situation in West Papua, with West Papua and Indonesia?
I have not followed that one really at all. And I don't say that I'm avoiding it, but it's just not on my radar screen.
It seems
I'm aware that some comments are made, but I I certainly don't wish to be drawn into anything regarding West Papua.
Would you say, though, that it's better to talk about these things than not talk about them?
No, I wouldn't say that at all, necessarily. What I say is that sometimes you have to approach a problem in a way that it may be a little bit different, but what you're looking for. What we were looking for is an end to, frankly, a civil war,
yeah,
where a lot of people had died in Bougainville, not necessarily at the point of a gun, but lack of health facilities, women dying in childbirth, that sort of thing.
The sensitive issue which relates to a certain group within a larger nation seeking, seeking some form of independence or some form of autonomy is clearly a very sensitive issue for lots and lots of nations, because they've lots
and lots
of nations.
I would only say this, that around the world, people are wanting more say locally on things like education, health, roads and bridges, and they're not as concerned about foreign policy and defence policy and other issues. Now that we're seeing a lot of that, people wanting more devolvement. And we've seen it in the United Kingdom, Scotland, and Wales. We're seeing it in different parts of the world. And it is just local people saying we would like to have more influence over the things that matter to us on a daily basis.
You said at the beginning that it was your visit to Bougainville which in part led to your realisation that something needed to be done. Is it possible that it would be useful if some intercessor or some potential intercessor, maybe perhaps someone from New Zealand in a similar position, went to West Papua and became
I'm not going to suggest that.
Similarly inspired.
You're not going to draw me into any comment on West Papua. Okay?
Thank you.
I've not said anything about West Papua.
I hear you'll be giving some books to the school you're visiting.
I've collected up a lot of books that I have had myself. They are awesomely heavy. I'll take what I can to Bougainville to Savili School tomorrow. What I can't take because of weight restrictions, we hope they'll get down there sometime. But they're books of interest, and I hope the kids of Savili Primary School can make use of them.
You won't be visiting Mr. Kabu in your official status?
Pardon me?
You won't be meeting Mr. Kabu in your official status and his?
Well, I'm not, he's the president of Bougainville, an autonomous body. I'm the Commonwealth Secretary General. You can't get away from that no matter what we try to do. But as much as anything, the support I have given Savili Primary School and introducing my son to his godparents again.
And looking back to Bougainville with the achievement so far, what would you say as you started the move going?
What about, sorry?
Looking back from the beginning up until now, the development taking place in Bougainville, do you sigh of relief at this stage?
A sigh of relief? I don't want to call it a sigh of relief. I'm very pleased that when I ceased to be New Zealand Foreign Minister, that there was a continuation of the peace process. But the big challenge for the people of Bougainville now is the economic challenge. How can you create wealth in Bougainville? How can you so develop businesses, just general economic development in a very competitive world? Now, for instance, what we do know is that Bougainville, for good or bad reasons, has probably never been any fertilizer or insecticide used there for years. So its capacity to produce organic food, which is so much in demand in the Western world, probably has no limit. But it does need capital, it does need expertise, it does need land tenure issues dealt with and things like
any
that.
Any suggestion on the Bougainville mine?
Pardon me?
Suggestion on the Bougainville mine opening?
I don't know much about that mine now, but what I do know is that when I was minister, someone said the cost of opening that mine is in the billions, and who is prepared to invest in opening that mine? So I do not know whether the mine is really an issue economically anymore. I do not know.
Is this the first visit of your son?
Yes, it will be, and my wife.
Mr. McKinnon, sorry, any thoughts on the push by the autonomous government in Bougainville for observer status at the forum?
No, I don't know much about that, frankly.
With the Kula Fund too, have you already identified other Pacific Island states that you're
No, I haven't, because it's not for me. It is the fund managers, and the main thing is that they do address issues of investment in small and medium sized businesses. As you heard the Robert Binion say, down to $100,000 US, even lower if necessary, if it'll make it work. But it now has the whole of the Pacific, not just Fiji.
Okay. Quick.
What about process?
All right. Okay.